I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Today I'm really pleased to have in person Charles Demers. He's one of my favorite guests because we can talk about anything really. He's graciously come in today without really knowing what I'll want to talk to him about, and that's one of his gifts. He's a raconteur, as well as an author, comedian, and activist. He's written two books, the novel Prescriptionaires and the brilliant Vancouver Special, which I think is one of the best books on Vancouver ever. It goes up on the shelf with the books like Bye-Bye, Chuck Davis, Eric Nickel, Michael Kluckner, and a few more behind me on my shelf here. He captures Vancouver so well, I can't say enough about the book. It's wonderful. In fact, I've just bought three copies of the book to give away this Christmas. You should, too, if you don't already have it. Mr. Demers is a regular on CBC Radio's The Debaters, and you can buy a special he's taped. It's a funny show at thestandupcomedians.com. That's all one word. It's only $5, and there's a money-back guarantee, too. There's an event this Sunday, the 2nd of December 2012, 5 p.m. at the People's Co-op Bookstore, 1391 Commercial Drive. It's their annual holiday get-together, and there will literally be dozens of great authors on hand. We'll get Mr. Demers to tell us more. And New Year's Eve at the Comedy Mix at the Century Plaza Hotel, Charlie will be hosting, and Patrick Malia will be headlining. Kyle Bottom and Chris James are also on the bill. Visit thecomedymix.com for more information on that. And follow him on Twitter, at Charlie Demers. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program in studio this time, Charles Demers. Mr. Demers, good morning.
Thanks very much for having me, Joseph.
Thanks for coming in to do this. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, my pleasure.
So the People's Co-op event, that's the communist bookstore, I like to call it, on Commercial Drive.
Well, yeah, it is Vancouver's oldest bookstore, established 1945. As you say, the Communist Party famously had a hand in, a large hand in founding and running the store. That's obviously a big part of the bookstore's history. In fact, one of the biggest boosts that we ever had was the Soviet Pavilion concession at Expo 86, which was sort of a sort of famous chapter in the bookstore's history. And authors like George Bowring have talked about how he used to be able to go in and get, you know, recordings of cosmonauts like Yuri Gagarin and stuff like that in the bookstore. From the beginning, though, it's also been a bookstore sort of founded by and run by various left organizations, religious organizations like the Unitarians have been involved since the beginning, still are. My wife and I have been volunteer board members for the last couple years, since about 2009. There was a motion back then to shut the bookstore down, and one of the cool things about the fact that it's a co-op is that basically, I mean, it belongs to the members. Members were able to mobilize and vote down the proposal to close up shop, and we've been able to keep it open. It's something that is really unique about the structure of the bookstore, that it's an independent bookstore, but that's not sort of tied to the fate of one family, for instance.
Yeah.
Great old Vancouver institutions like Duthie's or something like that. And so, yeah, we've been sort of grinding it out on the board for the last couple of years, and really trying to turn around the financial picture for the bookstore. Last year we did this event that was just successful beyond all of our wildest plans for it. We did sort of a mix and mingle and shop. Elizabeth Baczynski, the poet, a local poet, called it a cash mob event. But basically, we sort of put out cookies and some drinks and some food and invited a bunch of our favorite authors from Vancouver to just sort of be on hand to meet shoppers and to sort of hang out. And it essentially just turned into this big literary party that people had a great time at, and that made a lot of money for the bookstore. And so this Sunday we're hoping to recreate that and have a great time again.
Yeah, you've got a great list of authors that are scheduled to be there, right?
Yeah, it's really it's an embarrassment of riches. I mean,
it's dozens.
There's dozens of people. George Bowring will be there, Grant Lawrence, Elizabeth Baczynski, Rita Wong, Michael Turner. It's such a huge list of poets, essayists, fiction writers, it's a real boon to us to have that community here and to have their support, and they're also they're fun people to party with, and so it should be a great time.
Yeah, and you see, some of the names you've mentioned. I mean, we really are blessed in this part of the world, aren't we? With the sort of literary, the arts community. I mean, it's such a great community. I mean, doing this show, I mean, you get to meet some people. Not all of them, but you get to meet most of them.
Well, it's a funny thing. You know, we sort of always think of ourselves as being on the peripheries here, with regards to all the arts, whether it's books, whether it's comedy. Right. I mean, we sort of think of ourselves as sort of outside of what's going on, and yet whenever you line up a list of Vancouver comedians or a roster of Vancouver authors. You're always sort of blown away by, there's some really amazing talent in the city doing some really incredible stuff, and it's really energizing to be around.
I'm not familiar with Kyle Bottom or Chris James, but I know Patrick.
Yeah.
He's been on the show before. Actually, if you look behind you, there's under the Gordon Campbell letter, there's a postcard there. That's from Patrick.
That's nice.
That he sent me a couple years ago.
This is hilarious because in the postcard he's not able to write within the allotted space, and that is Patrick's trademark. A Patrick Maliha 5 is 20 minutes, and that is a total Patrick Maliha postcard. Patrick will obviously he'll destroy on New Year's Eve. He's a killer. It'll be a lot of fun, and. Chris James and Kyle Bottom are two of the funniest young comics sort of coming up in Vancouver right now. I mean, Kyle just did the Homegrown competition for Just for Laughs last year. Super funny guy. And Chris James is hilarious. He's a very, very funny comic. So that'll be a really fun night, the New Year's Eve the New Year's Eve show, and I will be hosting, that'll either be really an easy job for me or a really hard job for me. We'll see.
Yeah, people can get tickets for the show, and then they can also get tickets for the show and dinner, right? They can eat dinner.
There's the dinner, and then they give a little, I think there's a little champagne at midnight or something like that. I've done the New Year's Eve show down there back when the club was Yuck Yucks. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of fun. It's a fun way to bring in the New Year, for sure.
What's Christmas like at your house? We know what you're doing New Year's Eve, so...
Christmas. We always end up at my uncle's place on Christmas Day in the afternoon. That's sort of, we get there in the afternoon and we're there, till late. And that's something that I've been doing since I was a little kid, and it's what we continue to do, as long as we're in town. Both my wife and I have our parents live out of town. Right. My dad lives in Halifax, and my wife's parents, her dad lives in Hong Kong, and her mom lives in Toronto. So we have had a few Christmases away where we go visit the parents, but for the most part, it's here at home. And this year, I think I will be going to midnight mass at my old church in South Burnaby, because there's sort of rumors that it's the church may be winding down, and so I just wanted to kind of go be there. And as I understand it, the congregation's gotten a little older, so midnight mass happens at around 7 p.m. So you'd be home in time for dinner. From midnight mass in time for dinner. It's a nice selling point.
I've asked you this before, but I forget. And people listening to this might not have listened to our chats previously. Mm-hmm. So you grew up in Burnaby, did you?
So I was...
You also spent some time in Surrey, if I recall, right?
Yes, so I was born in Surrey, which I'm hoping to use to my advantage on at a taping of the Debaters in Surrey on December 4th.
That's Tuesday.
That'll be next Tuesday. So I was born at Surrey Memorial. First 2 years of my life... or give or take, we're right down in East Van here. I'm pointing, which is always useful.
Well, it's useful for me.
Yeah, it's useful
for
you.
Which,
so we lived on Caslow Street, down in, it was very much an Italian neighborhood at the time. We lived in a house owned by, we lived in the Vancouver Special. We lived in on the ground floor of the Vancouver Special, owned by a Portuguese family. I want to say the Fernandezes was their name, and so my first words were all in Italian, because my babysitter during the day was Italian. My father loves to tell the story. I would gesticulate while I spoke as an infant, and then we moved for a short while to the Birch Co-op in Newton, Surrey. Which is where I get my street cred.
Yeah.
And then after that, there was sort of a kind of litany of family tragedies that sort of led to us moving into my grandmother's basement in South Burnaby. It was the house that my mom, for the most part, grew up in.
Yeah.
And I lived, we lived, it was my grandmother and my aunt upstairs, and me, my mom, my dad, my brother, and downstairs. It wasn't a suite downstairs, it was just rooms. We would eat all our meals together and stuff like that, and it was nice. It was the South Slope in Burnaby. It was a really nice place to grow up. It was very multicultural. It was, you know, just really great people. It was kind of a very... salt of the earth people. It was a really nice place to be, and I mean, we spent, you know, as teenagers, as soon as you had a car or mm-hmm. whatever, I mean, we were spending all of our time in Vancouver, but I like South Burnaby. I still it's a very fond place for me.
So you still live in Vancouver, and is it a place that you could always live in, do you think?
You know, it's I would love to. I do always have that feeling of sometimes you can feel like a lack of I don't know if it's dynamism. Mm-hmm. If you live in the place where you grew up, it's you feel like you
it's
never
familiar.
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
I never sort of struck out to see the world or anything like that. I mean, I've done a lot of traveling, but I've never lived any place else. And so I don't think that would be the worst thing for my own personal growth. I mean, the other thing is that it can be tough to make a go of it in the arts in Vancouver, and particularly in comedy, it's tough because you can't really tour easily from here. It's mm-hmm. and the infrastructure that exists in a place like Toronto. Just doesn't really exist. Doesn't really exist here. But if you were to tell me that I'm going to be in Vancouver for the rest of my life, I can think of a lot worse things than that. I do love the city.
Yeah. Is the goal for you? I think my sense of it, and I haven't really talked to you about this, but I mean, you're going to be a comedian for the rest of your life. So is the goal then? To get that sitcom or to work in a movie or on a movie or get that script produced, whatever that is?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's tough. I tweeted this yesterday, and, you know, I tweeted it, you know, sort of as a joke, but actually coming out of a long conversation with my wife, Kara, I've actually decided, and I really am going to try to do this, I've decided to take a break from thinking about my life, or I'm going to take a break from doing big picture thinking, because it can really take you out of the present. It can really take you out of your work. You end up doing not as good a work because you keep thinking of how am I going to fit all the pieces together to make a good salary and to get a pension or mm-hmm. whatever it is. You know, I do a bit of teaching at UBC in the creative writing department, and so, you know, there's always the thought, well, you know, should I try and pursue further education in order to make, you know, a permanent mm-hmm. job like this, something that's more feasible. you know, should I move? Should I, you know, there's these constant questions whenever you're freelancing. Mm-hmm. There's just that kind of hustle, and the hustle's good in the way that it sort of fuels the work. But if thinking about the hustle overrides your thinking about the work, it's not good for you. And I can get trapped in sort of constantly trying to figure out various permutations of the future. And so for the moment, I'm trying to just sort of take projects as they come. I'm working on another book of essays, and I'm hoping to start working on a piece of writing with New World Theater in the spring, mm-hmm. if everything goes well. And
what the hell is
it's
that?
A ladybug has just landed on the which is good luck for an interview, I think.
There you go.
It's the world's only bug that no one is revolted by. Well, that was sort of revolting. When they open their wings, they really aren't as pretty. But that was I'll take that as a good omen. I do have a show idea that I'm working on with Ryan Beal, uh-huh. Who's an improviser and actor, a super funny guy, and was until recently an A&W spokesman. He was Ryan the trainee.
In the commercials. Yeah.
And so he and I are working on a show idea, kind of based on sort of his experiences.
I'm distracted by that.
By the ladybug. It is really upstaging me, for sure. And I'm colorblind, so I can't really tell what, is it red?
No, it doesn't look red, no.
No, it doesn't feel like ladybug season.
No.
Isn't this like, this is late November, so this is some kind of, you know, pine beetle DNA ladybug
that's going to
destroy the city. This is the, like, if this were the movie, this is act one, where we're enamored by it, and, oh, let's welcome the ladybugs.
And then we're dead at the end of the interview.
Yeah, we're dead, eaten by ladybugs.
Yeah. You're on CBC a lot, and you mentioned that you'll be on The Debaters on Tuesday in Surrey. That show, I mean, it's a great show for those of us that listen to the radio. I mean, it's funny.
Yeah.
But for a comic, I mean, that must be great in terms of promoting oneself, right?
Oh, I mean, there's nothing in the world not great about The Debaters.
Mm-hmm.
The Debaters is, you know, when we talk about, you know, for all I've said about, you know, taking a break from thinking about my life or whatever, I mean, if I could do The Debaters every day, if mm-hmm. I could do The Debaters every week, I would do it in a second. There's nothing that I do that I work on that I get as much joy out of as The Debaters.
And you realize how many funny people there are in this country.
Oh, it's and Richard Side, the creator of The Debaters and the producers, he's created this this talent pool, this kind of Rolodex, where he knows just what kind of comics will thrive with just what kinds of topics. It's a machine, and it's you know, I was a high school debater, like really high level. I was the Canadian. I was the captain of the Canadian high school debate team that went to the Worlds in Jerusalem in 1998. It was like I was a debate kid, and so for me, it's like a show that was like developed in a lab for me. That it's a debate show. That's a comedy debate show. It's a huge showcase for Canadian comics. 750,000 listeners a week. I mean, now that Comedy Now, I think, has been discontinued, it's probably the biggest single kind of showcase for a stand-up. You know, maybe on par with it, like a Just for Laughs gala. It's a tremendous show, and it's so much fun to do, because basically every recording is like a mini comedy festival. It just collects 9 or 10 comedians from across the country that, you know, we don't always get to see each other and stuff like that, and so it's just always it's always great.
For all the trouble that one goes through in terms of performing, trying to make a living, establishing a career, it's worth it at the end when you have an audience laugh at you, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's you know, we did a recording.
Is it something that you have to thrive, that you thrive on, that you need, I guess? Is that?
Sure. Yeah. No. I mean, I don't think any comedian does this if they don't need if they don't need the laughs. I mean, there are all kinds of, sometimes in your sort of darker moments, you think about what it is that maybe left that hole that you're trying to fill. What it is that you know, you like to think that you're not just doing it for that reaction. But that's certainly a big part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, we did a recording in Saskatoon last spring where I was arguing. I'm just seeing John Diefenbaker, a picture of John Diefenbaker on your desk. We did a debate in Saskatchewan, who is the greatest Saskatchewan politician, Tommy Douglas or John Diefenbaker. And, you know, we were in the Broadway Theater in Saskatoon, and I was up on stage and I was arguing for Tommy Douglas, and it was just this moment where, it was just this moment of just pure happiness where I kind of, I was getting to do writing, I was getting to do comedy, people in the audience were loving it, I got to do something that was in line with my, you know, political beliefs, I was doing a show with my friends, you know, Steve Patterson, the host of the Debaters, was on stage, Al Ray, the director of the Winnipeg Comedy Festival, and a fantastic comic, he was my opponent. And it was just one of those. It was just one of those moments where, in one's professional life or whatever, where just all the cylinders were firing, and it feels there's just nothing like it.
You asked me when we were planning this, well, before you came over, if I had a cat, because I guess you're allergic to cats.
Yeah.
The photos on the wall are Brian Mulroney, Margaret Thatcher, Churchill. And Diefenbaker, you're not going to break out in a rash, are you?
Oh, right, no, am I allergic to these? I feel like that's maybe unfair to Diefenbaker to lump him in with those guys. Because, you know, he was a pretty decent dude. And, you know, Churchill, for all his faults, fought Hitler. So I'll give those two guys a pass.
Mulroney, though?
Well, he created a handsome son who hosts a beloved TV show. It's funny, you know, it's funny how easily... you can become nostalgic for a guy like Brian Mulroney. I remember, I mean, I don't remember, but I mean, I'm certainly aware of the kind of the feeling at the time of like, wow, this is as low as we can ever go.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, wither Mulroney.
Yeah. Well, you know what I like to tell my left wing friends is, what'll happen 10 years down the road? I mean, the guy that's going to replace Harper.
Yeah.
He'll probably be 10 times worse than Harper, and you'll be missing Harper.
Right,
so
yeah.
Why don't you just embrace him now, you know?
If I, if I ever get to the point of missing Harper, I think I'll really have to... well, I hope I have the chance to miss him. I just hope he's not, you know, leader for life.
Did you watch... we talked about Louis C.K. and his show, Louis.
Yeah.
Which I think is a great show. Do you watch... Like, is that at the mayor's house... Is that because you're a comedian? I'm wondering, do you watch much comedy? Do you watch Big Bang? Do you watch Modern Family?
I do watch comedy. It's funny. Until recently, I watched mostly because my whole thing is that, you know, I wake up late. I'm usually working out doing a show or whatever in the evening, and then home late. You know, watch a bit of TV, tool around a bit on the computer, and then go out to bed with a book. And so the TV I was watching was, for the most part, syndicated episodes of Frasier and Seinfeld, and, you know, I wasn't as up to date on all the current stuff, happening. And then we got one of those, when they finally switched over and you needed a digital box or whatever, now, so you can watch,
on demand,
you know, show on demand, kind of, stuff. And so I've been able to keep up more with you know, new episodes of The Office or new episodes of Modern Family. The two shows that really give me a great deal of hope for TV comedy at the moment are Key and Peele and Bob's Burgers. Those are two new shows that I just think are tremendously funny and really great. I do wish there was more going on in Canada in terms of that kind of stuff, but you know, Mr. D is very funny, and there's some friends of mine have a pilot that's filming in January for CTV, and so hopefully the ball gets rolling again on stuff like that. A wonderful Canadian show that was done for the web recently that involved Nicholas Campbell of Da Vinci's Inquest fame here. Was called Bill and Sons Towing.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, and I thought that was a really, really fantastic show. Super funny, and you know, put together by a sketch troupe called the Imponderables out in Toronto. It was set in Hamilton. A very talented guy named Mark DeAngelis is putting that show together, and so. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I would hope that Canada, continue to produce sort of conventional TV sitcoms, but also, be on that cutting edge of digital content. But it's tough because it'll take a lot of money, and that money won't be coming from the private sector. Until we figure out a way to make these projects make money, and unfortunately, you know, at the moment the formula is just not really there. You know, I spent the last year working on a web series that we filmed the pilot for. We did, I wrote a couple of scripts and blah blah blah, the money from that, for the most part, came from the Interactivity Fund, which I'm not sure whether it still exists or not, or at least has been affected. I mean, that sort of funding needs to be available to try out new things, right? And it's so we'll see if there's a political will to let people figure that stuff out.
I really appreciate you coming in today. It's good to see you again, and as I've said previously, I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
This has been it's just whizzed by, and I, urge people to go Sunday, the 2nd of December at the People's Co-op Bookstore. It's at 5 p.m., 1391 Commercial Drive, and then New Year's Eve at the Comedy Mix. Thecomedymix.com is the website for that. That's at the Century Plaza. Charlie Demers joined me in studio here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plante.